If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Good tune.
You listen to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Curtis Sewald approves of the music. Jed Marshall spinning the platters. Soren Petro with you here on a Tuesday. We're getting ready for Dayton Moore. Expectation of what we're going to hear from Dayton Moore. He's having a press conference today to talk about the trade deadline around the corner. What do you think we're going to hear?
You know, it's the first time I can think that I don't really have a feeling about it. Because he's not going to answer direct questions probably about, hey, would you think about maybe from general philosophies of where they are in the standings, the impact that has on what they might move, whether they might be buyers or sellers. I think he'll probably kick most direct, specific questions down the road as far as he can, or at least kind of shoo them away as best he can. I doubt he'll get into specifics, but he may get into some philosophical ideas as far as how you handle the situation based on where they are and who he has that's free agent eligible in a year and 2 years and 3 years and things like that. I don't know what else. I mean, it's if it's specifically about the trade deadline, that's which is why he'd be doing it now, assuming that's what most it'll be. There probably will be a few other organizational questions that don't involve the draft that are asked. I would imagine just because the general manager's on a screen in front of you, why wouldn't you ask? So,
yeah.
But you?
I think interesting. I'm not sure what to think. You know, I'm not sure.
It's kind of a wild card, isn't it? I mean,
yeah. I think it. I think it's going to be. I think it's going to end up being a little bit of a state of the ball club. Right, because I think he's going to say, you know, it takes another team, right? You got to have a willing partner where, you know, what you really want is a trade that, you know, is good for both sides. You know, I think what we really want to know is, are you in buy or sell mode?
Yeah.
Are you close or not close to contending? Reports have you telling people that you're close, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, is everybody available? Are there any untouchables? I think these are the things that people want to know.
Insofar as he can... I mean, I know he probably wouldn't want to specifically say who is or isn't. There are some that are obvious, but I would imagine obvious. But yeah, I agree with your assessment.
I mean, I always tell people, like anyone who does fantasy sports, like, hey, is there anyone, you can offer anybody. If I think it makes my team better, I'll trade anybody, right? You know, it's the ultimate approach. Like, that, you know, especially when it's fantasy sports, they're all on different teams, they're commodities, they're not somebody you've invested time and energy, you don't know them personally, so it's easier to say. But I think that's definitely the way the Oakland A's would tell you, anyone's available, what do you got, like, make us better, we're trying to win now, make us better now, we'll give you better next year, you make us better now. I think that to me is the biggest thing. Listen, I we say it all the time. You have to, the most important thing to being a general manager or being in control of a team or organization is, I think one of the most important things, one of the first things that you have to do is look in the mirror and be accurate in what you see.
Yes, and that is difficult to do.
Previous to the six-game win streak, and the six-game win streak matters, and it gives them more reason to believe that they're closer. But previous to the six-game win streak, I think a lot of people struggled to understand if the reports were true that Dayton Moore was telling people, yeah, we'll listen on Whit Merrifield, but it has to be somebody coming back that's going to be here soon because we think we're close to contending. Most people would say, you're not looking accurately in the mirror.
Now, I don't think the six-game losing, the winning streak by itself makes them closer to contending. That it happened because Brad Keller and Chris Bubich and Daniel Lynch pitched well against, Lynch didn't pitch well against the playoff team. At least Keller did. The fact that three guys you would plan on having in your rotation when you're winning pitched well maybe makes you a little closer. But the six games itself, I mean, how they won on Saturday has nothing to do with, and to a small degree, how they won last night, unless you think you can move guys, that helps you. But to me, the six-game winning streak and the explosion of guys like Soler, it helps individually because you can move them for maybe pieces of value that are there when you're ready to win, but that's only if you're willing to do so. If you're not willing to do so, it does you no good.
The explosion by Soler validates that, hey, there was a scenario where you could have been a much more effective team this year if he gets out of the gates. Now, I will say it's also validation that you weren't a contender because you don't have any depth.
Mm-mm.
Right? Injuries happen. Guys have bad years, and you still have to be collectively good enough to go contend. They weren't. They needed a perfect scenario to contend this year. That's why most people
survive with Dozier and Soler being under 200 with no
pass. And Monacy playing 10 games.
And Monacy playing 10. Those three moves doom this team.
Yeah, they cannot handle it. They're the 23rd offense in baseball. That's not good enough. But I do think that you can look at it and say, okay, there is something there in Soler. I don't think there was any way Jorge Soler was part of the future of this club. Reports had him offering him a contract extension. He said no. And at that point, to me, I think that was half the reason Carlos Santana's here. He was here to bridge the gap to Prado. And if Prado's ready in time, Santana's the DH. Because by all accounts, Prado's is a very good first baseman. So Carlos Santana is your replacement for Jorge Soler. So Soler should be an easy trade, in my opinion.
Yeah. If you had asked, if I'm Dayton Moore, and you asked me a week ago, man, what would you like to see in the next week? You know, it'd be really nice if Jorge Soler would go on a binge.
Yeah.
He just did. I mean, you could not have gotten a bigger gift as the general manager of a fourth-place team who's 12 games under. You could not have gotten a bigger gift the week before the deadline than to have a guy with a 48 home run season on his resume go off for a week.
We'll take a break.
Cash the gift in.
Yeah, we'll take a break. Come back. We're going to hear Dayton Moore, the general manager of the Royals. He's going to lay out at least his view of the trade deadline coming up at the end of the week. We do that next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
You might want to hold off on that just for a minute. Just hold on. We can't hear. All right.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz into the hour. Answer, two men have hit their first home run and their 500th home run against the same team. I asked for either one. One's Frank Thomas, the Twins. The other, Alex Rodriguez, who was 46 today. First home run off Tom Gordon in 95. The 500th off Kyle Davies in 2007.
Two 500 home run hitters off the Royals, is that the question?
No, it was two guys have hit their first and 500th homer off the same team.
Ooh.
A-Rod being one, hit his first off Tom Gordon in 95 at the Kingdome, hit his 500th off Kyle Davies in Yankee Stadium as a Yankee. Royals got beat for his first and 500th. I thought he'd be the only one, and just at the very end I found Frank Thomas. I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, well, you know, that'll work. We'll take it. Great Cajun food from Jazz, what we were playing for there. Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Get it online at jazzkitchen.com. We're waiting for Dayton Moore as they are amassing the troops right now on the Zoom call for the general manager of the Royals to talk about the upcoming trade deadline. I think a pretty important one for Dayton Moore, to be honest with you. I think they need to make the right decision. Are they in it for now?
Yeah.
Are they still looking to the future? Are they still stocking the system? The one thing I will say, and he's getting ready, he's sitting down at the chair, so we'll go there. Let's see where he thinks they are, right? That's the big thing right now is where does he think they are. Here is Dayton Moore. We ready? We're going to wait 1 second. Apparently there's an announcement. I can see Dayton Moore. He's ready to go, so we'll have him shortly here in a second, the general manager of the Royals. What are the ground rules? Okay.
Mike Swanson, just wanting to get some mic
time. And here's Dayton Moore.
Before the trade deadline, I'm wondering, has that turned your attention elsewhere?
No, I mean, we're still, just kind of evaluating, what we've got to do to be better in 2022. And I think anything that we would do at the deadline, regardless of what our record is, would be focused on that, how to be better in 2022. And so that is continuing, as we go forward, but it's still, very early. A lot of the things that, get done oftentimes, as we know, are at the last minate. And we're really just focused on you know, keeping as many of our good players together as we always talk about, not really doing much in terms of exchanging names, just trying to be very disciplined with the group that we have and just build on it.
Annie?
Hey, Dayton, how have you seen kind of the industry play out over this past week here with in regards to the deadlines? What is kind of the market like in for a team like yours?
Well, I think, Annie, I think, you know, it's very difficult to do deals. I mean, first of all, you have to match up, you know, with a particular team. They have to have excess in players that you are interested in before they feel comfortable in moving a player or two or a pitcher. And, you know, the other thing that, you know, I've spoken about in a few occasions is, you know, we have 180 players under control, like every other team in baseball. And we just had a draft where we signed 21 players and we want to activate, you know, some of those players as well. So it's safe to say that we're not going to do deals for prospects unless the prospects we get in return are significantly better than what we have, an upgrade over many of the players that are in our system. And so we're going to be very disciplined in that way. And, you know, the most important thing of any evaluation is to make sure that you're evaluating your own players very well.
Alan?
Yeah, hey, Dayton. What has this recent stretch, this six-game winning streak, told you about this team?
Well, I mean, when you get good starting pitching, you got a chance to win. I mean, it's as we all know. I mean, I'm not stating anything that isn't obvious to everybody, you know, on this call. But when you get good starting pitching, it puts the game in rhythm. You play better defense. You tend to have better at bats, more quality plate appearances. The fans seem to have more energy and excitement in supporting the team. I mean, again, it just puts, you know, the entire game in rhythm when you have consistent starting pitching. And so when we get that, we have a chance to win, as does, you know, 29 other teams in baseball. But it's all about, you know, consistent starting pitching that goes deep in the game. And you support that with, you know, very good defense. You execute double plays. You don't give the opposition extra outs. You run balls down in the outfield. When you do those types of things, you know, it supports the efforts of the starters, and they go deep in games, and then you don't overuse your bullpen.
And then you've talked about expecting to compete in 22. Just how confident are you still in that comment and in that conversation?
Well, I like the talent we have on our team, and I certainly believe in this group of players. I believe in the offense. I believe in the defense. The starting pitching, as I said, needs to be more consistent, and I believe it will, you know, as we move forward. I do feel good about, you know, the group that we have, and that doesn't mean to say that, you know, we don't have to continue to make improvements, and you know, you somewhat have to kind of reshape and remake your bullpen each and every year. I mean, those are a lot of the things that we continue to discuss and talk about, you know, even as we have, you know, our scouts here and the majority of our baseball operations department, you know, here talking about, you know, what we need to do, you know, for next year. I mean, a lot of those discussions are about how do we reshape the bullpen and put us in a better position to win more games.
I'm going to jump over to Seren because I know he's live. So, Seren, go ahead.
Thanks, Mike. Dayton, just quick question, a couple of quick questions, actually. You said be in any trade to be better in 22. I remember we discussed a couple of years ago at spring training about you know, one of the things you wanted to do as you built it back this time was build it back more for the long haul. Does that mean you, you know, can just take back players that will be major league impact in 22, or do you have to look at guys that maybe you have to be more patient and wait for in 23, 24, 25?
Well, like I said, I think that, first of all, as you all know, it's very difficult to execute deals at the trade deadline and get back major league talent. I mean, usually it's their prospect-oriented deals, you know, centered around, you know, upside-type players. Organization, every organization has a different philosophy on that, whether they want to trade young players. And a lot of it depends on where they are in the standings and how confident they are that they can go deep into the playoffs and win a World Series. And I believe that the clubs that really believe they have a chance to win a world championship will probably do whatever's necessary to acquire the major league talent that they feel will empower their roster, build their roster in a way that allows them to match up and to win against you know, the other playoff teams. So, you know, that's, and I can't speak for the other general managers and how they view their team. And I certainly don't know what they're dealing with day in and day out. You know, I don't know what the general health of their team is. You know, I don't know what their clubhouse chemistry is like. I don't know, you know, what they feel that they can acquire and what they're willing to give up to acquire certain players. So it's all different. But as it pertains to us, I mean, don't expect us to do any deals moving, you know, our core group of especially position players and starting pitchers that, you know, we feel are part of our future. And of course, we'll evaluate, you know, every potential deal that's out there. But I would basically categorize it as, you know, we've really got to be overwhelmed if we're going to move, you know, one of our key contributors to this team, and those players that we feel are key contributors, you know, into the future. And so we like our farm system. We feel like we have a lot of young players on the horizon that'll be a part of our team in 22 and 23. And so we're going to continue to trust our scouting and our player development to produce prospects and not necessarily rely on trades to strengthen our farm system.
Well, I guess specifically, would you take back players that you're going to have to wait several years on, or are you of the mindset that anyone you bring back at this time anyway needs to be someone that's going to contribute next year?
Well, I guess it just depends on who the player is and what the upside of the talent, what position they play, when do we think they're major league ready. You know, we're not going to do a deal just to do a deal. I mean, players that are free agents at the end of this year are more likely to be discussed. And, you know, when you're talking about players that you don't control beyond 2021, you know, there may be more of a, you know, an upside play, a young prospect, again, as long as they're not interfering with the development of some of the players that we have under control, the 180, if you will, as long as they're not blocking the path of somebody else. And so, for example, if we feel like that we have, you know, quality catching at every single level or quality shortstops at the four full season teams, I mean, we're probably not going to go out and trade for a prospect shortstop or a prospect catcher that's going to need to play because they're going to take away development time from somebody that we already believe in the organization. Pitching is obviously a different category. You always need plenty of pitching throughout the course of the year. But I would say, Saran, with regard to any deals that we would make, I mean, our focus really is, you know, looking at the value of the players that are free agents at the end of the 2021 season, what their value would be at the trade deadline, and if we would be able to, you know, to make a deal that that made sense, you know, for us.
And then this one, just full disclosure, where I'm coming from, the reports that Kumar Rocker has, you know, maybe an elbow injury that's preventing him from signing. So that's the background of where I'm coming from. I'm not asking you specifically about him. I know you can't comment on that, but how much medical clearance can you have on a draft pick before you make that selection? Do you have a full medical report for everyone that you're considering taking in the draft?
Well, not as complete as you'd like, but for the most part, you have a pretty good feel. I mean, we've got a lot of history with the players coming out of the draft, especially in today's baseball world. You evaluate with your own eyes, multiple looks, certainly the data that you have available to you, and you can predict with a pretty good and a pretty clear vision of the general health of the player, the pitcher, and then obviously the players that want to be drafted rather high, and there's going to be a large investment in them, they're willing to cooperate with their health history, certainly over the last 4 or 5 years of their career, and they're pretty transparent about that. And so you get a chance to dive into the history. I mean, if you're watching a player or a pitcher perform over a period of time and you have a lot of history and a lot of data behind that, there's certain trends that you can see that force you to look a little deeper, ask more questions, get more medical people involved. That's kind of the purpose of the draft combine as we move forward. That's really, in my mind, the main purpose is to entice players to want to be a part of that combine so we can, get more medical information on them. There are checks and balances in place that, can allow you to make better decisions, going forward, certainly today than it was, 10, 15, 20 years ago. But, it's always, a little bit of a risk, and especially when you're dealing with pitchers, because we all know the attrition rate with pitchers. That's why we draft so many.
Lynn Worthy.
Hey, Dayton. Along those similar lines, when you talk about getting better for 2022, that being the focus of any deal that you potentially would make, would your preference, if moving somebody from the major league club right now who's under contract for multiple years going forward, would your preference be to get major league talent back in that case?
Yeah, that would be our preference. I mean, unless you got, such a impactful prospect going forward that, is just, there's no way you could pass upon a certain player. But, if you're going to trade major league talent that you control, you certainly, in my mind, want to try to get back other major league players to multiply and spread out and utilize to build your roster in a more complete and balanced way. And so that would be the plan. And it's difficult to do this time of year, as we all know, just because of the nature of what everybody's dealing with in the playoffs. I mean, they want to hold on to all their major league players, and I understand why.
And when it comes to some of those, the young players that you have in your farm system, and you've mentioned a few times when we've talked to you about, sort of the shrinking numbers, not as many farm teams, does that make it at all any more, likely that you guys might deal from some of those areas in the farm system where you feel like you have strength? Would that be, catchers or pitchers, where you guys seem to have a lot of guys that obviously have performed well and maybe are starting to jumble up or group up in certain levels?
Yeah, I mean, you could. I mean, I don't know if we're in that situation, right now. I mean, we like our farm system. We're not currently talking about any players in our farm system that we would potentially deal. I mean, we've got a group that we feel is, getting really, really close to being major league ready. And some of those guys that are very athletic and they can move around the diamond. But as we've said before, I mean, still in the early stages with a lot of those guys. I mean, some of those guys have just gotten to AAA. Some of them are still in AA. And just like we were talking the other day, Lynn, I mean, it's a huge gap between the minor leagues and the major leagues. And So we're going to be patient with players and continue to let them develop and grow and mature and hopefully just really force our hand to make a decision on when to call them up to the major leagues. But we're in the process of, again, just making sure that we hold on to as much depth as we can in our minor league system and continue to develop them. And our minor league players are very, very young.
Todd Lebo.
A couple real quick ones here, Dayton. Each trade year is different, I'm sure, depending on where you are, who's in the standings, whatever. Would this be a year where you're more getting phone calls or giving phone calls, you know, reaching out to people?
It's about the same, Todd. I mean, I generally, you know, Scott and JJ and Jen, you know, do a lot of work and behind the scenes and just talking to their colleagues about, you know, what players are potentially available, what the direction of the team is. I certainly have, you know, a group of general managers that I'm, you know, have a deeper history with and stay in close contact with them on what they're doing and really the kind of the landscape, what else is happening. And so we just put all that information together. I mean, as you know, Todd, I mean, we talk every day about these types of scenarios every day, 360 plus days a year, truthfully, on who has excess talent, who might be willing to part with a certain player. We certainly know what our needs are going forward. And so it's about the same. I mean, because the discussions just don't start, you know, 2 days or a week before the deadline. I mean, you're, you know, when we did the Zobrist deal and the Cueto deal, I mean, we were talking 5-6 weeks ahead of time before those deals were even ultimately done.
And then, so just, it doesn't sound like there's a lot of action happening right now for you guys. Do you get that feeling that this is going to be pretty quiet for you this week because maybe there hasn't been as much of that stuff going on, or you think maybe there could be some more calls coming in?
There's a lot of discussions, but it's no more than any other time is what I'm saying. And I mean, everybody's trying to come up with creative ideas and you know, it's hard enough to make trades with your own players and, you know, teams try to get creative with seeing if other teams are willing to part with certain players and three-way deals and what have you. And it's just, it takes a lot of time and a lot of listening and a lot of discussions. And, you know, and obviously we just wrapped up the draft as well. And so we've been going at this thing pretty hard. You know, we've been having trade talks, you know, leading up to the draft, during the draft, and certainly after the draft. And so it's hard to predict, you know, what you'll ultimately be able to do or not do. But like I said before, I mean, the general philosophy for us is to listen intently on the players that are going to be free agents, expiring contracts after 2021. And, you know, we'll see what their value is. Most teams want to acquire players that they control beyond, you know, just, you know, the next 3 months of the season. I mean, they want players they can control into the future. And so, but so do we. And so everybody's kind of looking, you know, for the same types of things and has very similar philosophies on what they're trying to accomplish.
Back to you, Lynn.
Hey, Dayton, I was curious if you could give an update on where things stand with Duffy right now, just with his health and potentially season back in the field.
Yeah, I think he's doing great. I mean, I talked to Nick Kinney this morning, and you know, Nick thinks that you know, he's doing really, really well, and so hopefully he'll pitch again you know, before the season's completed. We fully expect that for that to happen. But as you know, the rehab process sometimes can take some twists and turns. But as we said here today, that he's progressing towards you know, a return, you know, within hopefully, you know, the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Then I wanted to ask just with obviously we saw Daniel Lynch pitch the other day. We've seen times with some of these young pitchers. How important is it? Do you feel like, as you talked about trying to look ahead to 2022, that see some of these players in big league games that stretch down the stretch of this season here, just to sort of start that process of planning and evaluating looking forward?
Yeah, I think it's really important, Lynn. I mean, we all recognize in whatever profession you're involved in, you know, the importance of gaining experience and learning and gaining more confidence in what you do. And certainly when you stand out there in the middle of the field and you've got to deliver a baseball against the best hitters in the world, you know, that's a tremendous challenge. And it takes time to be a complete quality, successful, consistent winning pitcher in the major leagues. You know, I'm really feel really, really good. And I'm excited about the experience that our guys are getting at this point in time.
Allie, why don't you wrap it up?
It didn't touch on the draft a little bit. I just wonder what your reaction was to the way Lonnie and his staff, I mean, signed all the guys and utilized the pool that you guys had.
Yeah, I think Lonnie does an amazing job, and the staff. I mean, they're as focused as any group that I've ever been around. They love what they do. They're passionate about signing players. They have a really great feel and vision for the type of player that we desire here in Kansas City, players that will thrive in our development process. And, you know, I know the orientation in Arizona right now is going really, really good based on all the feedback that I've received. And, you know, not only from our people, but the players, their families, their agents. And so, you know, we're really, really thrilled with this group. And like I said, I can't thank Lonnie and our scouts enough for the great work that they do. They're already preparing intently for, you know, 2022. I mean, it's going to be here before you know it. And they're beginning that process, you know, as we speak.
I said, Allie, wrap it up. Anybody have anything else before I shut her down? All right, y'all. Thanks so much for your time today.
Okay, guys. Hi, there it is. Dayton Moore, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, talking about where they're going. I don't think anything earth-shattering. Just they're out there listening. Doesn't sound like he's hot to trot. Going to have to be overwhelmed. Going to have to be better than what they already got in the system. Stated a number of times. They got 180 players.
Yep.
And, you know, did say, yeah, we'd look at something on down the line, and mention the guys that, you know, that are going to be free agents at the end of this year.
That they would be trade them for upside prospects.
Yeah, much more interested in just taking the upside.
The one part that got me was that the need to be overwhelmed by a deal for anyone who they control beyond this year. That doesn't sound like Whit Merrifield's going anywhere. We talked about the...
Unless
they're overwhelmed, which, you know, what is Dayton Moore's definition of overwhelmed? Those two things were the most of note.
Yeah, I would agree.
He believes they can compete in 2022. That was a little concerning to me.
Yeah, I think that I don't think he can say anything else though.
Yeah, and it's true. And that was
I think we're screwed next year. Yeah, by the way, buy those tickets.
And that was the answer to it. I always want to point this out when it's that way. He was answering a direct question. Do you think you'll still be competitive next year? So it is true. He can't go, hell no.
Yeah.
Look at our team.
Yeah. We'll take a break. Come back. Alec Lewis is going to join us from The Athletic. We'll break it down with him next here in the program.
The Program with Soren Petro.
He is the Spam-eating champion of the world. Six cans of Spam straight from the can.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. As a boy growing up in Alabama, he dreamed of going to school at Missouri. Really?
What? I'll be deep in the cold, cold ground before I recognize Missouri.
Okay. Now he covers the Royals. He's Alec Lewis of The Athletic.
on the program.
A quickie with Alec Lewis here as he's got to get on the field. He joins us to talk about what we just heard from Dayton Moore. Alec Lewis brought to you by my friends at All Weather Decks. Cass and the guys have got you covered. Go to allweatherdecks.net and relax. 22-time winner of the Angie's List Super Service Award. You can call Cass and the guys at 913-206-1974 or get yourself a free estimate right now at allweatherdecks.net. Alec, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. I'm on the upstairs concourse. I'm just hoping I don't sound as bad as Pat.
No, not yet. I'll let you know, though. I'll be happy to let you know if that is the case. Reaction, first of all, what was your overall thought to the comments of Dayton Moore here just a few minutes ago?
Yeah, pretty unsurprising, uneventful, kind of the same type of message that we've heard, that I've heard all year, all these last few weeks. It was notable, I guess. He says that for them to trade a core piece, they're going to have to be overwhelmed. But that seems to have been the conversation in weeks past. And he talked about they're looking and focusing on deals with guys whose contracts expire at the end of the season. I guess Jorge Soler has maybe put himself back in play with the way he's performed of late. So other than that, nothing crazy. Nothing really that eye-opening. Yeah.
I like the fact that he did say, although I don't like the fact that he held it to just the players with expiring contracts, but that they would be open to, you know, younger players further off. Why wall yourself off from the most talent, whenever it is? I mean, that's why I brought up his comments where he said he wanted to build it back and have it be more sustainable. Isn't the way you sustain success is by filling your system with as much talent as possible?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, and it's interesting that he talked about, like, certain positions and minor league depth, and I know he relies on the 180 players that they're now only allowed to have. But, I mean, you would think it's just the best players that you believe in that you can acquire, go acquire them with what you have. I mean, I think it was, to your point, positive to hear him say that. I also think, I mean, he did mention talking about reshaping the bullpen with all the staff that's in town. So, I don't know if that potentially puts Scott Barlow in play. I would think if they're overwhelmed with the players that they're seeking, maybe that's an option. I know we've had so many conversations about Whit Merrifield. It just doesn't seem, from everything I've heard beyond just that conversation, doesn't seem that's happening unless some big-time prospect or major league talent comes available all of a sudden and falls in their lap.
So if you're not selling off pieces, then shouldn't you be buying?
It's a good question. And I don't know if you were talking about this today or yesterday. It may have been yesterday. You were talking a little bit, I think, about Chris Bryant. It's an interesting thought. But, yeah, I mean, it's a great point. They're consistently and have been caught in this limbo of they're not going full-on tank rebuild, but they're wanting to contend, but they're not ready yet. So, I think as he's talked about, they expect to compete in 2022. If that's the case, then show it in terms of actions and acquiring talent that you can place alongside this current group and actually, I think, have a better chance. I think you're spot on with that. I really do.
What's your gut tell you they're going to end up getting done at the deadline?
I think they'll trade Jorge Soler for whatever young pitching prospect they might be able to get. I think I don't know if they can find a suitor for Greg Holland or Michael A. Taylor. And I think there's a chance Scott Barlow gets moved. But other than that, I mean, it seems pretty quiet. It also sounded, I mean, he was asked about trading some of their young prospects where they have a lot of depth in the system, specifically a catcher where they have Sebastian Rivero and MJ Melendez. And it didn't sound like they really kicked the tires much on that type of conversation. So I don't know if they'd be huge buyers in that regard. I think it will probably be the way it's been over the last few years, just kind of rental pieces that aren't that valuable being sold off for prospects that we might not hear about for a long time or ever.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I would always be going for what is the maximum upside, particularly when that's supposedly your drafting philosophy is towards the upside. Then why wouldn't you do that in the trading philosophy? Go get as much talent as you can and have it all, you know, just start stocking up. He seems quite frustrated with the fact that they only have the number of minor league teams that they have, because he never misses an opportunity to bring up that they only have 180 players under control.
Yeah, he brings it up every press conference we've had. I mean, seemingly every single press conference that comes up. And it's an interesting thing because, like, I don't know if it's to maybe allow minor leaguers who might hear his conversation to know that he believes in them above all. I don't really know the purpose of bringing it up every time. Maybe it's just the frustration that you mentioned. But, it's interesting. I would think if you acquire as many players as you can, some are going to pan out, some aren't, and some have different acumens to improve that others don't. So I don't know. To bring it up every time, it's an interesting one for sure.
I just think it's something that frustrates him. I mean, I think he'd like to have more guys, right, more lottery tickets on being able to find guys to make their way up. So I get that. I understand it. But it's, he kind of uses it. It's almost, I don't want to say it's a crutch, but it's like, well, we only have 180 guys, right? Well, so are you saying that, like, you've got 180 rock star prospects? And so, boy, we couldn't possibly add anybody to the mix because they can't beat out any of our 180. Well, that's where, like, I think they were served well and they won a world championship feeling like their guys were better than they felt more about their players than anybody else out there. But I don't know that is a recipe for sustained success.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question. I mean, here's the deal. If you're relying on player development and drafting and player development as your one focal point of producing major league success and results, which is obviously the goal for everybody and for this organization, for these guys to be able to keep doing the jobs that they're doing, I mean, you better be right and you better hit on it. And the problem is, in years past, they haven't. And so, obviously, the processes that they've used on hitting development side and pitching development side are I think, as developed and better than ever. But if you're not being the transactional type of organization that some of these other small markets, Oakland, Cleveland, Tampa are, and you're not spending a ton, then I mean you're definitely limiting yourself to this one avenue, and that avenue better be right, or else that's all you have, really.
Somebody was getting at trading from a position of depth, right, and pointing to catcher. You got Perez, MJ Melendez is along the way. A lot of people would say move Melendez, right? If you're committed to Salvador Perez, the plan isn't for Melendez to be up, what, mid-season next year or even the year after that and be a backup catcher that catches 20 games? I mean, that can't be the plan, is it?
No, I mean, he's been arguably, to be honest with you, a better hitter in the minor leagues this year than Nick Prado and Bobby Witt Jr. I think a lot of scouts, when I've had conversations with scouts who are like, we talk so much about Prado's adjustments, and obviously Bobby Witt Jr. is what he is, but, like, I really love this MJ Melendez guy, and he's also good behind the plate. He has a lot of relationships throughout the system, and so, I mean, it's hard to really know how, I mean, I know why they haven't pushed him to Triple-A at this point, because they want every day at bat for Sebastian Ribeiro, another young catcher. But, I mean, to continue a guy's development, you would think, he deserves the bump. Even J.J. Piccolo has said that. And so it feels like a situation where you've got to make a decision at some point, one way or another, thinking toward the future. I mean, Salvador Perez, I know he wants to catch every day, and he's taking one day off now, and maybe next year he's taking two days off of catching. But, I mean, you got such a surplus of catchers, people who mention the possibility of trading one of these players. I think it's very valid because if you're not promoting a guy like MJ Melendez who deserves it because of too much depth, I mean, something has to give, I would think. It's just not really right for the player or his development.
Yeah, and all the pitching you've been accumulating at that you would seem to have some depth there that you'd be able to move them. I don't know, maybe the trade deadline's not the time. Maybe it's an off-season trade. It doesn't have to happen now. But at some point, they've got to be moving from a position of strength to fill a position of weakness. And this would seem like one of those opportunities. Alec, I know you got to get down on the field, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll be reading your work at The Athletic, and we'll talk to you again soon, bud.
Appreciate it, sir. And thanks for having me. You guys stay well. Talk soon.
We will do our best. Alec Lewis from The Athletic. We will take a break. When we come back, we're going to shift gears, talk some Chiefs football. Sam McDowell, coming in to complain about the temperature we keep the studio at, amongst other conversations regarding the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll be up at camp tomorrow. Looking forward to that. We'll talk Chiefs training camp with Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star. It's coming up next. You're listening to the program brought to you by our friends at Worth Harley Davidson.
Time for our Deli Fresh end of the hour question, sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense, not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, since 2010, two players have had kickoff return touchdowns against the Chiefs. Name either one. Brought to you by Good Sense.